You can take your Bibles and go to 3 John, if you would. I want to talk to you tonight about something I think is very important in life, and that's making the right choice, making the right decision. We're faced with many decisions in life, and sometimes we always don't make the right ones, but we want to. Sometimes the decisions we make, the choices that we choose, can have lifelong blessings and lifelong consequences. Carmen saying it got to be God. And it had to be God because in the first manifestation that I heard, Alan, he talked about pride and help us put down pride so we can become more like you and do your word. Then I heard that God wants us to be in health and prosper. And I heard that he is our sufficiency. And all of these things that we heard in manifestations tonight are exactly related to what I wanted to share. I just got so blessed just listening to them. We could have said amen and went home. A good chunk of life is about decisions. Making the right one or the wrong one can break you. If you're in business, for instance, when you're in business, you need to know how to make good decisions. The right choice in business can be the difference between success and bankruptcy, profit and loss. Do you remember a guy named Ross Perot? Yes. He came and had the goofy idea he was going to run for president, and he did. And he got lots of votes and messed up that election somehow, but he ran for president. Well, when Bill Gates was 23 years old, he went and he offered Ross Perot something called Microsoft. And he offered it to him for a price tag of between $40 and $60 million. And Perot said, "It's too much money. I'm not going to buy that." And that, out of his mouth, Ross Perot, his words, not mine, he said that was the stupidest decision, the worst choice he ever made in his life, especially understanding that Microsoft currently has a market cap of $755 billion. So he did not make a good decision when it came to Microsoft. The internet portal Excite in 1999 came across a guy, and it was called Google. And that was offered to him for $750,000. And he said, "Nah, I'm going to pass on that one." And today it's worth $180 billion. Not a good business decision. That's for sure. The telegraph monopoly, Western Union, when offered the right to the telephone, he said, "Nah, telegraphs are going to be around forever." He said, "This looks like a space toy anyway, this electronic thing." He says, "We're going to pass." And AT&T became the great telecommunication giant for that reason. That was not a good decision on their part. And one other, Commissioner Pete Rozelle. I don't know much about football and baseball, but he's a football guy, I think. And he had this idea that, you know, baseball was America's sport, and they had hockey, and they had all these other things. But football started to catch on. So he went to the news stations, and he said, "Listen, why don't we have a football game show on one of your stations once a night?" So he went to CBS, and CBS said, "No way, that will never work." And he went to NBC to try to negotiate a contract, and NBC said, "We ain't having it. You think we're going to get rid of the Doris Day show and laughing for a football game?" So last resort, he went to ABC. That was the last place in the ratings. And ABC was interested in the prospect of having a football game, and they wound up calling it Monday Night Football, which was the longest running and highest rating television series of all time. The other executives did not make good decisions. See? So making decisions is an important thing. Those are listed among the top 10 worst decisions, worst choices, business choices ever made. But God is concerned about his children succeeding. And in order for his children to succeed, they have to know how to make good decisions. They have to know how to make the right choice when it comes to life. 3 John 1. We heard this in Manifestations. I'm simply going to read it to you out of the Word now. Verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Now, if we're going to be in good health and we're going to prosper, we need to know how to make right choices. We need to know how to make good decisions. Good decisions concerning prosperity. Good decisions concerning our health. Saying there's a lot of decisions that we make, some consciously, some subconsciously, or unconsciously, about both. I want you to go to the book of Proverbs. I want you to go to chapter 8. And it's in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, that we have a wonderful example of a tremendous figure of speech called personification. And here, in Proverbs 8, as it's used, this figure, personification, is ascribing human qualities to something that is abstract. It's the attribution of human qualities to objects or abstract notions. Okay? In the Gospels, you have an example of personification where Jesus is entering in to Jerusalem. And they say, keep quiet. Keep, and he says, you know, I would tell them to keep quiet. Even the stones would cry out. That stone crying out, ascribing to a stone human characteristics, that's that figure of speech personification. Because stones don't cry. See? That's that figure. And in Proverbs 8 chapter, or verse 10, it says, receive my instructions and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Now through this, these verses, it's that figure where wisdom is actually speaking. And wisdom is trying to present her argument, her logic. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. See? And find out knowledge of witty inventions. If we're going to make good decisions, if we're going to make right choices in life, this is good information for us to have. The fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord, is to hate evil, and then it continues on, to hate pride, to hate arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth, do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, by wisdom, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Okay. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and what? righteousness. It's what kind of riches? Durable. Durable riches. And there's a big difference between riches and durable riches. See? Because something that lasts, something that is and not ending, lasts for a long time, that's durable. And if you want something that's durable, especially when it comes to wealth, to finances, to health, to these sorts of things, wisdom can provide that for you. The wisdom that comes from God. The wisdom that comes from God's word. See? You know, some places in our country, the desert, it's barren. And then you can get this torrential downpour. And almost overnight, the landscape is transformed. And you've got all these things starting to grow up. And that which was barren is all of a sudden, boom. And then, after a while, it gets scorched by the sun. And it's gone. See, wisdom's not like that. That's not a durable riches. Wisdom's more like the tree that's planted by the brook or by the river. And it's always fed over and over and over again. And when you go to it, there's always something there that it has to offer. It's durable riches. It's not you get a lottery ticket one day and the next day you're bankrupt. How many of those stories have you read about? And if you want to understand finances, and if you want to understand how to handle finances, it is absolutely imperative that you understand God's word. If you want to understand it from a biblical perspective, and you need wisdom in order to understand that, in order to apply those principles of God with regards to your business, with regards to your life. Verse 13 said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The second thing listed there is pride. And we heard that in manifestations. And again, it's just that the Lord has brought this to my remembrance so many times in the past month or so about pride. The sin of pride and how damaging pride is to us. How pride stops us, how it holds us back, and how we need to deal with pride in our own lives. See? And this has nothing to do with works, and it has nothing to do with righteousness. It has to do with dealing with something in your life that is stopping you from receiving the best from God. It has everything to do with dealing with something in your life that only you can deal with in your life that's stopping you from doing God's best. Remember we heard earlier that there's only some things that you can do. Well, there's only some things you can do with regards to pride. You can learn about it. You can hear a teaching on it. You can observe examples of it. But when the end of the day comes, you are the one that has to deal with the pride in your life. And make no mistake, everybody is confronted with pride on some level. And it doesn't have to do with money all the time. It doesn't have to do with riches. It has to do with whatever vice the adversary chooses to tempt you with. If you're going to go catch a catfish, you can use a worm or you can use a piece of corn. See? You're not going to put a half-inch wrench, combination wrench, on the end of the rope or fishing line and throw it in. You're not going to catch a fish with that. You might catch a mechanic with that. You understand? So he uses different things. Some things I'm not interested in. You could throw it in front of me and I'd walk away. I spoke to someone 2 days ago on the phone before I hung up on him. And he's trying to sell me on a service, a TV service. And he's doing all these dumb things with me. And this is the premise he's coming at me with. Well, let me do this and let me qualify you. They use the word qualified. Like, I'm not qualified to pay a crummy TV bill. But they said, let me qualify you and then I'll be able to give you what the taxes are. And they want to run you through all these things and get you right to the end where you say, yes, just tell me how much it is. And I finally got to the point where I said, He asked me for my social security number. Right? This is Comcast. I said, it's a TV. And I had just gotten back from the bank. The manager grabbed me, wouldn't let me leave, gave me a $25,000 credit card. Right? Says, take this. I said, I don't want this. I don't need this. He said, no, no, take this. We're your bank now. This, I'll be good if I can get the... I said, here, let me sign the thing. You fill the rest of it out. I walked out, right? $25,000. And this guy's talking to me about a TV, whatever, bill for under $100. He wants my social security number. I said, are you out of your mind? I said, you want myself for a crummy... I said, now you're me off. And I... What was I saying? Oh, yes. Huh?
Wisdom.
So he's giving me what I'm going to get on TV. Then this is what he said to me. I'll get you with this one. And guess which was the one that he was going to get me with?
Probably Sports Channel.
Which one?
Sports. She's exactly right. He starts saying all of these like sports stations and stuff, right? He says, yeah, what do you think? I got you, don't you? I said...
You don't know me.
I said, what? He said, come on, that's a great package, isn't it? I said, I never watched a sports game from beginning to end in my life. And he went like silence on the other end. You're kidding me, right? I said, no, I'm not. Oh, but you got to love this one and you got to love... I said, no. You're the first person I ever met in my life. First guy I ever met in my life. It says such and such and... See, he wasn't very wise in his choice and what he was doing. But pride, if we don't deal with pride in our lives, pride will take us down a road that we don't want to go to. And it's a sad thing. And I've taught you before, there's good pride. And it's good to be proud in a godly way. And proud of your children and proud of their accomplishments. And then you get where you're overboard and people don't want to be around you. Now, there was a couple here not so many very years ago. I used to call them the Brady Bunch. Because the Reverend and the Mrs., you would look at them and it was all about them and about their children. And every moment they had, they were fronting their children. And our children are this and our children are that and our children are that. It was just pride. It's what it was. Just pride. It wasn't a good pride. Pride is a feeling of superiority. It's a haughty attitude shown by somebody who believes, often unjustifiably, that he or she is better than someone else in a certain area. Or that they have the right to look down on you. Or that they are superior in whatever. That's pride. That's the bad kind of pride. I believe it's in the top 10 of the lies that the devil feeds to this generation by deceiving them to get this generation puffed up, to tempt this generation with pride. The world and the church of Satan, the media, is who I'm talking about. The Church of Satan, the media, and Hollywood, for the most part, and their ministers that work, the actors are the ministers. The news anchors are the ministers, for the most part, in the Church of Satan, the media. They portray pride as a good quality. Now listen to me. They spin it. They spin pride. And they shoot it back out to the world and the people of the world. And they come down hard on anybody who challenges their worldview. What am I talking about? Take, for instance, the term gay pride. Okay? They take that term, they spin it, and they make it a good thing. Something to put your chest out and boast about. It's nothing more than the Church of Satan, the media, I just want to make sure you understand who I'm talking about. That's headquartered in Hollywood, promoting their God's lies, Satan, to present sin in a favorable light. Gay pride. To be gay is a sin. That's what the word says. It's a sin. And pride is that they're proud of their sin. Gay pride. It's to take pride in the sin, in this particular sin, and then to defend it and promote it. And don't they? They got websites. They got billboards. They got parades. They got their own flag, copied it from Noah, the rainbow flag. Okay? And they spin it to try to convince the world that to be a homosexual is normal and acceptable. Leviticus 18:22 says, you don't lie with mankind the way you lie with womankind. It's an abomination. Leviticus 20:13 says, if a man lies with a man the way he lies with a woman, both have committed an abomination. They should be put to death. That was God's opinion of it. You can read Romans 12 if you want New Testament records, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6. It's in Timothy. It's all throughout the Word. There are many stupid decisions that can destroy your life in a moment of time. And we're talking about making the right choices. We're talking about making right decisions. But there are some decisions that, should have got the cheesesteak. Right? But then there are certain decisions, some decisions that can really destroy your life. Take, for instance, drinking and driving. Okay? So you decide not to call Uber because you want to save $4.50. Or you decide not to let your buddy give him the keys, right? So you know what you do? You drive home, what? Under the influence. Now that's a stupid decision. One that can change your life and the lives of others forever. God forbid you hit someone, you hurt yourself, or you hit a family, another car with a family in it, and you kill an infant. Now, do you want to live with that? See, that's why I call it a stupid decision. That wasn't just that's a stupid decision. We need to be better than that. We need to be smarter than that. Driving your car dangerously, like speeding, or not paying attention to different, traffic signs and stuff. That's a dumb decision. It's dumb. Here's one. Sleeping with a prostitute, or with your wife, or with your husband, or with your best friend's wife. That's a bad decision. Right? Having unprotected sex. That's a bad decision. They have something called AIDS, right? That can kill you. So for what, a moment, 3-5 minutes of pleasure, you're going to lose your life, have to explain that to your family, all that other stuff. See, they're just stupid decisions. How about taking on huge debt just so you can live a lavish lifestyle? How many times do you see that? And then you see the houses that were purchased for $800,000 4 years later selling for $300,000. But who's in debt for $785,000, right? It's just, they're dumb things. Quitting your job without having a strategy and a plan of where you're going to go next. Especially if you have responsibilities. You just can't, okay, well, that's fine. I was going to pay the mortgage and everything else. These are decisions. These are choices that you make. You have to think about that. Here's a great one. Getting into business with people you don't know. How many people have failed at that? And they find out that, the guy's an axe murderer that you just chose to get into business with. Speaking of axe murderers, we were out front on Main Street, 400 West Block of Main Street, true story, God's story, made a decision way back 30-some years ago, this is taking up too much of my time. I need to be able to devote more of my time to God and His Word, okay? That was my thing. I went to my brother. I said, listen, such and such, I can't be doing this. I was running a fellowship, but that was my heart. He said, okay, well, what do you want to do? I said, let's sell this place. That's what I said. Okay, that's what he said. Okay. So we got to do some work. So we're out in the front looking at the sidewalk, and the sidewalk has to be fixed before we can sell the place. So as we're looking at the sidewalk, this realtor pulls up. What are you guys doing? We're going to sell this place. Really? I got to buy it. Wants to buy it. And I say, yeah, right. Right? So he says, yeah, no, I got a guy who wants to buy it. Long story short, the guy buys the place, right? He buys the place. What did I say? Getting into business with people you don't know. A guy from PECO retired, got 6-digit buyout, got a pension, 50-some years old, 58, 59 years old, ready to go be happy with his wife. Bills are paid, whatever. So this real estate guy who goes around and buys up property puts his claws into this guy at PECO. Said, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. You come up with the down money for this property, and I'll handle the rental because I'm a real estate guy. I do all the rentals. I'll handle the repairs. I'll handle everything. All you got to do is come up with the money, and we'll use my expertise, and we'll buy this place. And the guy said, okay. So he does. Like 6 years later, my brother sees a guy in Home Depot working. He says, Skip, what are you doing? He said, I got to work. He said, why? He said, well, you know that SOB that we bought this place from you? He said, he forced me into buying him out. The guy didn't put no money down, you understand? But 5 years later, he said, you got to buy me out or we're selling this place. So he remortgages his house, Skip, right, for $90,000 to buy this guy out. And he turns around and says to my brother, he says, will you give me $90,000, which was over almost $100,000 less, for this place again? Hence, don't go into business with people you don't know. That's a true story. We didn't buy it. A year later, he went down to $60,000 for the property. 5 apartments and our body shop where it used to be on Pearl Street. And we still didn't buy it back. I don't want it. That's a dumb decision. And that was when that guy was going to retire, turned around, bought this other guy. I had to remortgage his house, and it was up to debt to here. That's a fine how do you do, right? It's a mackerel in the face. All these decisions have small benefits and huge potential damage. It's one of the ways you can tell how to make a good decision. You weigh out the odds and you say, what's it going to cost me if this thing goes up? Okay? Or you weigh out the odds and you say, what am I going to get by getting involved with this? Am I going to get an extra $50 a week for a $50,000 investment? Or is it possible that I could lose $50,000 on a $50 a week investment? Well, you're better off taking your 50 G's and putting it in the bank where it's safe. Even at 1%, you're safer with that kind of decision, you see? And it's easy to dismiss your bad decisions by reclassifying them as mistakes, see? That takes the edge off of it. It softens the blow. It wasn't a bad decision. It was a mistake. It was a mistake. But it's much worse than that. Reclassifying a bad decision as a mistake removes your responsibility, making it no longer your fault. And it's much easier to live with your bad decision if it isn't your fault. Consequently, you're more likely to make the same bad decision repeatedly if you simply consider it a mistake. That's insane thinking. A politician cheats on his wife. He gets caught. He stands in front of the media and he says, I made a big mistake. A child lies to their parents. Later on, they confess it, and they confess up to the mistake. These examples, they're not mistakes. There are mistakes, but they're bad decisions. That guy chose to cheat on his wife. Okay? Selecting the wrong answer on a test is a mistake. Right? Not studying for the test is a bad decision. There's a difference. So, the one you're involved with, the other, is having a right turn or a left turn. Everybody makes mistakes. And you got to live with the mistakes. But bad decisions, a lot of times you can avoid by thinking it through and weighing it through. The mistake was something you did without intention. Right? I made a mistake. You didn't get up that morning and say, oh, I'm going to. No, you did without intention. The bad decision was made intentionally. I'm going to cheat on my wife. Often without regard of any consequences that follow. Because you're caught up in that moment. And a lot of times you're caught up in that moment for the wrong reasons. You got things going through your mind that shouldn't be going through your mind. And that sets off a chain reaction. Because if you got things going on up here, it's not going to be long before up here is going to be talking to all different parts of your body and coursing chemicals through your body, and then you're just along for the ride. See? You're along for the ride. We all make mistakes. And we all make bad decisions. It's part of the human experience. And oftentimes, failure is our key to success. We can view those failures and learn from them. Remember, was it Edison who said, I haven't failed, I've just found 1,000 ways that it doesn't work? This light bulb. That's a good, healthy attitude to have because you're learning from it. And you change, you go back, you change, you go back. You've done this how many times with computers and stuff? This doesn't work. But that's a process of learning, and sometimes it's necessary. And we can learn from our bad decisions. But let's not confuse a bad decision and mistakes. See? Stupid decisions are decisions with very small gains and possibly colossal negative impacts on your life when they fail. You know, you all know people. I know you can go come up here and give me examples right now that, oh, I knew this guy, he put this much money in and he lost everything. Or you all have heard stories like that. You know, because they think, you know, if it's too good to be true, you know what? Unless it's the Bible, it's usually too good to be true. There's always something somewhere. Always something somewhere. Poor choices in life will put you in a poor life over a period of time. See, because you are the sum of your choices. You are the sum of your decisions in the past that has brought you to where you are now. Both good and bad. You chose to sign the green card. You chose to listen to God's word. That changed your life forever. Everyone in this room, it's changed their life forever. And you're going to, we heard about that too, we're going to enjoy eternity in manifestation. See how it was wonderful manifestations. See, that's good. That's good. How about marrying the wrong person? That can be a bad decision. And that can come with a lot of strings attached to it on all different levels, especially if you have children and you got properties and finances and all these other things. I mean, the list just goes on and on. See? Poor choices lead to a poor life in time, with time, over and over again. You, one of the things that you can do to help you along the way is Check where your choices are leading you towards. Are your choices leading you towards God and the things of God? Or are your choices leading you in another direction? Same financially. You have a goal. Are your choices leading you towards that goal? Or are these choices leading you somewhere else? And periodically check along the way. And sometimes you have to readjust. And then when you got all everything figured out, this thing called life happens to you. And it throws the curveball. You know, what do I do with this now? Right? Because that's the way it works. I got it all figured out. And then bang. She's pregnant. Or bang. The roof needs to be replaced. Or bang. You know, it's just, it's life. So you got to be flexible when you're making choices. You got to have contingency plans. But all of these things are secondary. The greatest thing you can do is to trust in the Lord. And He will take care of you. You know, the scripture says, the psalmist said, I've been old, I've been young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the people of God ignored, right? Forsaken, or His seed, what? Begging bread. Begging bread. See, and it's not about being scared to make a decision. Because if you can't make a decision, you're in big trouble. It's not about being scared about life or experiencing life. Because some people won't make a decision because they're afraid. But that's just going to stop you from living. That's not what it's about. It's not about being wrapped up in cotton and isolating yourself so you go through the world like this and you don't get hurt. It's not about that either. You want to go out. You want to experiment. You want to try new things. But you want to do things in a smart way. You can do things in a smart way. You know, if you got $400 to your name, it might not be a good idea to be booking a trip to Alaska. Okay, because it costs more than $400. The Bible is a good source for advice. It's a good source for advice. But there are also many examples of bad decision making and bad choices recorded in God's Word. And see, this is something that the devil has taken and he's spun it. He's fed it to our children and to this generation. And he's really ripped them off. Because the Bible is the best source for information. It's the best. And with the campaign, the slander, the smear campaign that the devil has waged against God in this day and in this time, he has gotten our children and this generation to, the Bible is distasteful to them. Remember it says of Job, he eschewed evil, right? It's distasteful to hear the word Bible. It's not cool. Because the media took it, and the way they spun gay pride and made sin a celebration of sin and something to be proud of, they took the word and they made the word something bad. They made God a hypocrite. They made God a two-faced. They made God non-existent. They made God somebody you don't need anymore. All you need is man. Because man's going to cure things. Man's got a better idea. Man can do it better without God. And that's what the media pumps down the people who listen to that crap 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. In the Bible, the premise is that God is the source of all wisdom. And distancing ourselves from God's counsel increases our chances of making big mistakes. Okay? God is the source of all wisdom, all knowledge, all good. And as we distance ourselves from God, our chances increase of screwing up. That's a Norristown version. Okay? Now, do you remember Joshua? Joshua was a fantastic general. Okay? He was a fantastic minister. I mean, the guy did things that would just spin your head. He was a great man of God. He had to follow Moses. Come on, guys. I mean, the Moses, you know, he didn't walk on the water. He split the water. Right? And if you go to Joshua chapter 9, as great as Joshua was, remember the walls of Jericho and all those tremendous victories? He was the one that was commissioned to bring the children of Israel and give them the inheritance. But in Joshua 9, you got a record where he's dealing with a group of people called the Gibeonites. Okay? And the Gibeonites heard what Joshua did to Jericho and to Ai. And they said, "We're done. We're done." So you know what they did? They resorted to a ruse. This is what they did. They sent out a delegation, and their donkeys were loaded with worn-out snacks, 2-year-old Snicker bars, and old wineskins. They were cracked. They were mended. They were moldy. And the men in the delegation, they put worn and patched sandals on their feet and old clothes that had holes in them. And their bread was dry and it was moldy. And when they got to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, they said to him, "O men of Israel, we have come from a distant company, distant country. Please make a treaty with us. We've been traveling for weeks." Right? And the men of Israel sampled the provisions. This is weeks, huh? Okay. Grabs the bag. Sees the expiration date on the Snickers bar 2 years ago. So they check it out. They see the bread's moldy. They see everything's cracked. It sees everything's old. Okay? And it says that Joshua made a treaty of peace with them and let them live. And the leaders of the assembly ratified it by an oath. And you know anything about oaths in the Old Testament, it stood for life. You know what happened 3 days later? They find out that the Gibeonites lived in Kunchi. They didn't come from New Hampshire. They were right around the corner. What went wrong? You know what it says in the scripture? They didn't seek the counsel of the Lord. That's exactly right. Great, tremendous success all there. But you know what? In this, he was just moving along. And this just goes to show you that even the best of us can get tricked. And it says that they didn't seek the counsel of the Lord. They didn't stop there and say, "What's going on here?" And then up until this point, he's given them all the answers. They went across the river, the Jordan. They went here. They did this. They did all these tremendous things, right? And he's got this momentum going. And he's got this success going. And he's there. And he's resting. And then what happens? "Yeah, sure. We'll make a treaty with you." They didn't seek God's counsel. The church of Satan, the media, has and continues to deliberately and deceptively feed the world, especially your children, the lie that man apart from God can do a better job. Thus, modern man has no need for God. and in disrespect and hostility does his best to vanquish any reliance on the Almighty. You see, if you want to make the right choice in life, God is your best option. And herein we have one of the great lies of all times that the devil has fed us. The devil, the CEO of the Church of Satan and the god of this world, has instructed his ministers in the media, to flood the airwaves, with fake news that will elevate man above the true God. He has instructed them to convince man that there is no need for God or the things of God. He has instructed his ministers, most of the news anchors and most of the Hollywood actors today, everywhere, that there is no God but mankind. And together we will make this place a better world. Now, if you grow up in a generation like this, and you trust those who teach in our schools and in our colleges, why in the world would you ever consider going anywhere else for advice except to man? And that's what's happening. What I'm telling you is revelation. But it's not because I got revelation. It's just because that's what's happening. If our best option to make a good choice in life and the right decision in life is God and his wisdom and knowledge, the devil is saying the same lie he said to Adam and Eve. God told him one thing, this is what we want, whatever. And the devil came along and says, no, it's not like that. I got a better way. I'll show you could be this of yourself, because if you do this, you'll be like gods. It's the same lie over and over again. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe me, you talk to someone 30 years younger, children, talk to someone, mention Jesus Christ, mention God, and you see what the response is to those words. They are hostile. They are disrespectful. They have no problem saying, oh, that's a bunch of crap. Where do you think they learned that stuff? See, this is methodically, diabolically orchestrated, planned out, and distributed through the country and through the nations of the world. And he distributes that information through the media. So what happens if you run into a problem in life and you need to make a decision or you need to make a good choice? You know what you do? You don't go to God, because you've been taught that God isn't existing. God does this. God hates homos. God does this. God's the God of the Old Testament. He's old. So why would you go there for information? You know where you go? You go to a person for information, or another person, or a doctor, or a psychologist, or you take a different drug, or you take a different approach. See? You start practicing yoga. Not that that's bad, but that's your answer to life now. No God. You start changing your diet. Health food. Not that that's bad, but you have replaced God now. You start making healthy decisions as far as your lifestyle goes. Not that that's bad, but nothing about God. You understand? You're going to all these secondary answers. You're going to all these secondary reasons and all these secondary cures, and you're ignoring the best cure. The best cure. Nothing about God. They don't want to hear it. How did a generation get to be like that? It doesn't happen overnight. And he spun it And he's fed this to this generation, and he's fed this to our children. If God is your best option to make a good decision in life to be successful, if he is the best, why would not you want that input? I mean, really, why won't you? If you're going to make a decision, a life child, you're going to make a decision on the person you're going to marry, for instance. People make decisions on people that they're going to marry for all the wrong reasons. You know that, don't you? You check the divorce rate? You know why that is? It's because they made decisions to marry that person based on emotion, based on looks, based on whatever. Her wiggle, his pocketbook, her pocketbook. If you want to buy a house, if you want to start a business, if you want to save for whatever, if you want to raise a family, I think most people want the best for their children, want the best, you understand? I don't think they sit down and say, I'm going to really have kids so I can torture them. Why would not you want that wisdom and that knowledge to be able to take it and apply it in your life? Should I move in with this person and get this apartment at age 20? Well, where's this person work at? Dairy Queen. But only 14 hours a week. Well, have you ever thought, are you going to be able to pay the rent? Or what about the cable? What about the, you know, credit check? What about the electric? What about... Well, we can afford it. Okay. Where did they get that? Not from the Bible. Not from God. Not from logically thinking it through. Not from going to an elder who's going to say, did you ever consider what marriage to this individual is all about? How are you basing your marriage? You know marriage is for a lifetime. You know such and such and such and such. No, they go to some psychiatrist, or they go to some secular marriage counselor, or they go to some such. Oh, everything will be all right. Just follow your heart. Follow your heart. I bet you just about 95% in divorce court have heard that at one time or another. Just follow your heart right to divorce court. And if you got children involved, then you screwed up their lives. These are all because of bad decisions, bad choices. And the devil has presented the one thing in the world, the one thing in the universe that has the best information. He has the best answers. He has the best wisdom, the best knowledge. And the devil has convinced people through the media, that that is not a reliable source or a credible source to consider or check when making a decision. Now, if you're going to tell me that's not a lie and a great trick, I don't know what to tell you. That's what he's done. That's exactly what he's done. And how did he disperse that information? The media. The movies. They portray God, if they do, in a negative way. They portray Christians, if they do, as people to be made fun of. People who are weak. People to be spit on. People who are odd. You understand? People who are judgmental. People who are this. Most of the time, they don't portray them at all. You know what they portray? The homosexual scene. Do you know that the drugs and the drug cartels of El Salvador, Mexico, these different countries that flood the United States with cocaine, do you know whose fault that is? It's the media's. I'm going to tell you why it's the media's. Because in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s, the media took movies like Scarface, who made drugs look cool. And that stuff that was going on in isolated sections of the world was now put on the silver screen. And the yuppies, the young generation, says, no, this is the new way to party. And so you know what there was? Instantaneously created by our media? A huge demand for cocaine. Because I want to tell you something. You don't take your product and sell it somewhere that nobody, that people go, "Well, I don't want that." So you know what the devil had to do? The devil works off of supply and demand. So the devil had to fabricate. He had to develop. He had to manufacture a demand for this drug. And you know how he manufactured a demand for this drug? The media. Rolling Stone. Time. Newspapers. The drug of choice. Partying in Miami. The clubs. The nightclubs. Every other day. Drug of choice. Cocaine this. Such and such. Such and such. Hollywood. It was the drug now. He did. Anybody ever tell you that before? That's the truth. That's the truth. It's not El Salvador. It's not El Chango or El Chapo or El whatever they are. You know who it is? It was the media. It was Hollywood. And then all the young people saw that. And because, you know, the actors, "Oh, I want to be like that. I want to be like..." And everybody snorting, there you go. That's who it was. That's who it was. You can thank them. And you don't think that there are the Church of Satan operating and moving his system in this world? Your eyes are closed. Your eyes are closed. Wake up. And if all else fails, go back to the board and read the 13 reasons you can commit suicide. It's on TV, Netflix, right? And then read the people who saw that on TV and tried to commit suicide because they saw it on TV. That's why I put it back there on the board. So you see, he gets it all over. You would think, how about God? Maybe I'll try God. No. They don't even think about God no more. That's why we need to speak about God. And we need to talk to them in such a way to say, "You've been lied to. You look like a reasonably intelligent person, but you're stupid because you believe a lie. You've been lied to. And if you want the answers to life, if you want to live an abundant life, if you want a successful life, if you want to know what's going on, if you want to know how to make the right decisions in life, you need to have God's knowledge. God's wisdom. Because God will never hurt you. Never hurt you." This contradicts and distorts the truth of the gospel of Christ. Let's close in Galatians 1. The world is corrupt. And the best answers that they can offer always come in second place. Always to God. Galatians 1 verse 4, talking about Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. That's the world. I'm not telling you not to live in it. I'm not telling you to move to Timbuktu and start your own little commune. I'm telling you to be smart. And make right choices. And four keys I want to leave you with that will help you make good choices. Number one, pray and seek God's counsel. Okay? Pray and seek God's counsel. Number two, avoid the influence of the ungodly. Because it'll tend to steer you a different way. Number three, seek the approval of God instead of the approval of your peers when you make decisions. Right? Did you ever get around a bunch of guys and they're doing something stupid and you usually don't do stupid things like that, but they keep hounding you before you know, what are you doing? Something stupid, right? Seek the approval of God instead of the approval of your peers. And perhaps this is the most important one. When God gives you advice, don't ignore it. Okay? Because you can do all those other things, and when it comes to the end of the day, if you don't be a doer of the word, you what? You deceive yourself. See? You just hear it. It's not a good thing. So that's a little bit about making the right choices, about making good decisions. And I'll guarantee you that this week you'll be faced with a decision. Take some time and pray about it. Ask for God's advice. Don't be like Joshua and forget to ask. And then he was, not only him, if you read in the book of Solomon and all throughout Israel's history, that oath, you know, continued. It wasn't just over in one generation. That oath continued generation after generation. They were the wood guys, them Gibeonites. Okay?